Normally here we work our way consecutively through different books of the Bible. We're actually taking a break from doing that at the moment, and so we're in a more topical sermon series on the subject of the body. And this week we come to look at the body and identity, and I'm going to ask Sineng if she could come up now and bring our reading for us. Thanks, Sineng.
Hi, good morning everyone. Today we're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah.
Well, thank you very much, Sineng. So, when I was visiting Eden Baptist Church recently in England, I had an event where I was asked questions by some of the teenagers there. And one of the teenagers asked me the question, "Do you work out?" Now, I'm assuming the reason that the teenager asked that question is because it really looks like I work out, and the teenager just really wanted to make sure. But it was at least a reminder that many of us do take something of our identity from our physical bodies and what we look like. I guess that could be true for a number of people who do work out. Just look at the quote on the screen there as an example. So one person writes, "My body is like a canvas. Motivation is my brush. I control every curve and make no excuses. I turn heads and hold my head high. I have no bad angles. I'm confident in every light. I break limitations. Quitting is not an option because in the gym, I am never alone." Now, whatever else that individual is saying, they're saying that their body and how they look is important to their sense of identity and who they are. Or maybe just think about some of the advertisements, maybe, that we see so often here in Hong Kong. You can see an example of one there on the screen. Wherever we look, whether it's in the mall, just under where we are now, or whether it's on the MTR or on the many billboards in town, we are bombarded with adverts for paler skin, for anti-aging cream, for plastic surgery. We are told that we need to be the right height, the right weight, and have the right look more or less constantly. Our culture is pressurizing us to see our physical bodies in certain ways. And if we don't measure up, then it's very easy to feel like a failure. Well, this morning we're thinking a little bit more about the relationship between our physical bodies and our identity, and especially looking at what God has to say about this in his word. Last week we saw that God made our bodies, and our bodies are important to him. That sermon is available now online if you would like to catch up. This morning, though, we're going to drill a little bit deeper into how we see ourselves and our identity, who we are. Generally speaking here, I think there are two pitfalls to avoid. One is the pitfall where we see our bodies as not really very important. Our physical bodies, well, they're just a blank canvas for sort of expressing the real me, which is actually who I am on the inside. That's one relatively common view in our culture. The other extreme, of course, is where we see our physical bodies as actually being too important, where we almost worship our bodies, or we feel pressurized maybe into having the kind of body that our culture says that we need to. And then I guess many of us may be a mixture of both, or even somewhere in between. We know that there's some relationship between our bodies and who we are, but we aren't sure exactly what. Once again, I would like just to say that I'm highly indebted to Sam Albury's book that you can see there on the screen, What God Has to Say About Our Bodies, How the Gospel is Good News for Our Physical Selves, and I think we do still have a few copies of this available on the church bookstore. Anyway, from your notice sheets this morning, I would like us to look at three headings that will help us get into this topic a little bit more. And number one, there is that our bodies are an important part of who we are. And what I'd really like us to see here is that God has actually made our bodies to be an important part of who we are. They are not just blank canvases for expressing ourselves, but are actually integral to who we are and our identity as God's people. So let's look a little bit more at what the Bible has to say about who we are. I think we can summarize the Bible's teaching like this. So number one, we're comprised of body and soul. Number two, the body is the physical part of us, so the sort of heart, the lungs, the spleen, and everything else. And then the soul or the spirit is the immaterial part of us. So we might think about our mind, our will, our reason, our intellect, our emotions, our memories are really what we are like on the inside. And then the body and soul are distinct parts. They are usually unified, but they are separated at death when our physical body dies, but our soul lives on, and then our physical body in the form of a glorious resurrection body will be united again with our soul when Jesus returns. However, the important part for what we're looking at this morning is really point number one there, that we are actually created, both body and soul. And so when it comes to our identity, when it comes to thinking about who we are, we need to consider the fact that Jesus has made us with a body and not only an eternal soul. So let's look at a couple of passages from God's word that will help us to see this. Let's first of all look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which you may remember that we also looked at last week. So Genesis 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So what does God do here? Well, notice that God creates the man's body first, and then breathes the breath of life into him so that he becomes a living being. God doesn't create the spirit or the soul first and then sort of look around for a physical body to put it into. No, God creates the man as a unity, both body and soul. The implication, of course, is that our physical bodies are a very important part of who we are. There is no me who somehow exists independently of my physical body. I am both body and soul. And so this means that our bodies are not something that we occupy like an empty hotel room or a lounger at the pool. Rather, my body is me. My body is part of who I am. We're not just spirits who happen to occupy a body for a relatively short period of time. I think there are a number of other verses in the Bible that say the same thing. There's quite a number we could have looked at, and we'll be looking at some in weeks to come, but here are certainly some of them that we probably won't look at again in detail. So first of all, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates what? Body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." We might also think of 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34, where it says about unmarried women, her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in what? Both body and soul. And these verses, among others, show that God has created us to be both body and spirit, or body and soul. One possible objection to all this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, where you may remember that Paul speaks about his body as if it's a tent, as if it was just something that he occupied. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, again, Paul writes, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." However, when Paul is describing his body as a tent here, I don't think he's saying that his body is irrelevant or is less important than his soul. Rather, I think he's just saying that our current bodies are temporary. They're the right bodies for us at this present time, for living in this present world, but they are only temporary. When it comes to the new heavens and the new earth, of course, we will need a new body. We'll need a glorious resurrection body like Jesus's to inhabit God's new creation. Now, I know that all that might be a little bit involved and might be new teaching for many of you, but I hope you can begin to see the main point, that our bodies are an important part of who we are. We are not just imprisoned spirits like what the Greek philosopher Plato believed. Our bodies are not just a sort of outward casing that has no real significance as far as God is concerned. Our bodies are important to God, and that means that they are important to us as well, because they form part of our identity and how God has made us. They aren't something that is divorced from the real me that we can just neglect or ignore, but rather are an important part of who I am. I actually think we can prove this fairly easily. So think with me about the difference between somebody vandalizing your car versus kicking your leg. Maybe you don't really think about either of those things right now. But so think about the difference between somebody vandalizing your car and somebody kicking your leg. When somebody vandalizes your car, they harm your property. But when somebody kicks your leg, they actually harm you. I think even the law recognizes this. So the reason why crimes against someone's person are generally treated more severely than crimes against someone's property is because they actually harm you. It recognizes that an attack on your physical body is an attack on you, and therefore it's treated more seriously. Why? Because your body is being viewed as part of who you are. See, our bodies are not like a pair of glasses or a wig, perhaps, that is not really part of us, but is just something we happen to wear. Rather, our bodies are part of who we are. And so have you realized that your body is an important part of who you are? It's not the sum total of who we are, as we'll see in a moment, but have you realized that it is an important part? You see, who we are is not just found by looking within, to the kind of inner me, sort of going on a gap year to discover who I am, but actually also includes our physical bodies as well. And this is much more important for you than you realize. The dominant way of thinking in Western culture at the moment is to think of the real me as who we are inside, and then the body's just an outward casing that we can choose to change or neglect if we want. So I decide who I am, and then I basically express that on the blank canvas of my life. But the Bible's view is very different. God has made us with a body, and so the body is actually an important part of us that we cannot ignore. This is actually a fundamental plank of transgender ideology. So we'll have a lot more to say about transgender ideology later on in this series. But one of the fundamental planks of transgender ideology is that what we feel we are like on the inside actually trumps what we are on the outside. I will repeat that. One of the fundamental planks of transgender ideologies that what we feel we are like on the inside trumps what we are actually like biologically on the outside. It's what I feel in my spirit, what I feel inside, whether I feel like I'm a man or a woman, that is what counts. And it's my physical body externally that then needs to be brought into conformity with that. But notice that the Bible's view is actually very, very different. See, the Bible would say that our physical bodies are actually part of who we are. We're created both body and soul. They're part of who God has made us to be, and therefore we can't just ignore biology. God has made us in a certain way, as male or female, and that needs to feed into our sense of identity and who we are. Now, I know that these are really complex issues, but really what I want you to see is that all this is actually really, really important. It's really important for how we view the world and how we view cultural issues as Christians. Who God has made us to be in our physical bodies is important. The real you is not just what you feel on the inside, it is also who you are in your body as well. So our bodies are an important part of who we are. However, we need to move on because we also see that our bodies are not all that we are. And this is really the opposite problem to the one that we just looked at. So if the problem that some of us have is maybe not thinking about our physical bodies enough, then the problem that others of us have is actually thinking about our physical bodies way too much. As the fashion designer Ben Sherman once said, looking good isn't important, it's everything. Well, maybe we would not be honest enough to actually say those words out loud, but I bet that is how some of us here actually think inside. Looking good isn't important, looking good is everything. And so we work out, we keep fit, we lose weight, we eat carefully, we are sure to wear the most fashionable clothes, we carefully create our image online carefully. And the root cause of all of those things can actually be emphasizing the body too much. We're taking far too much of our identity from our physical bodies and what we look like. And if that is the case, then we need to hear the message from the passage that was read for us this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Because here we see that our bodies are not all that we are, because God sees beyond them to what we are like on the inside. So just a little bit of context here. So this passage is basically about the selection of King David to be king over Israel. King Saul has just been rejected as king over Israel because he was disobedient to God's word. And so in verse 1 of our passage, we read that God sends the prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse in Bethlehem. And so the idea is that basically Jesse will present all of his sons to Samuel, and then God will tell Samuel which one of them is to be king. However, as soon as Samuel arrives, it seems that Samuel instantly makes up his mind. So we read there in verse 6 that Samuel immediately sees Eliab, and he thinks to himself, this is definitely the one. This is definitely the guy who will be king. We can imagine Eliab, maybe 6 feet 2 tall. He's well built. He works out every day. He's strong. He's muscular. He commands the respect of everyone he sees. He's the winner of the Bethlehem Mini Olympics and the Bethlehem Triathlon every single year. Surely this is going to be the guy that God chooses to be king over Israel. But yet God says no. Look with me at verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we can clearly see the principle, the contrast is between what people see and what God sees. People only see the outward appearance and they make their judgments based on that. But yet God sees the heart. He sees what we are like on the inside, our character, whether we have a heart to know and love him. So it's not saying that God has anything against those who look good. We see that a few verses later on really clearly, and that David is actually somebody who is described as being handsome and good looking. It's more that from God's point of view, what someone looks like is not the most important thing about them. He sees beyond the outward appearance. to what people are like on the inside. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. I think it's really interesting here that the prophet Samuel is a really godly guy. This guy is basically the godliest guy in the whole country. He's prophet in Israel. But yet even he falls into this trap of judging by appearances. So don't think you are immune. He takes one look at Eliab and assumes that he will be the king based on his looks and his physique. I wonder how often do we do the same thing? How influenced are we by all that advertising that we thought about in the introduction? We look at someone's body, we look at someone's clothes or their age or some other aspect of their outward appearance, and we make an instant set of judgments about them. But yet this reminds us that God's way of seeing things is different. People look at the outward appearance, but yet God looks at the heart. And then I think this becomes even more obvious as the story unfolds. So there's this sort of beauty pageant of all of Jesse's sons, but God doesn't choose any of them. And so eventually Samuel asks in verse 11, are these all the sons that you have? Well, there is the youngest, Jesse answers, but he's out with the sheep. We didn't really think that he was kingly material, and so we thought that there wasn't really any point in bringing him in. Of course, David is brought in from the fields, and he's the one that God has chosen. Verse 12, the Lord says, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Maybe you can think about a job interview at work. There are some really obvious candidates. They have all the right qualifications, all the right skills, really impressive resumes. But yet the CEO of the company chooses someone who appears to be completely unqualified. And you think, well, that's strange. What's going on here? Well, the only explanation is that the CEO is seeing something that you aren't. And that's exactly the point here. God sees things differently from what we do. We just look at the externals, whereas God looks into the heart. And so hopefully you can begin to see the point for us this morning, that our physical bodies are not all that we are. Our bodies are definitely part of who we are and an important part, but they are not all that we are. The inner life of the soul counts as well. And so we need to remember this when we think about ourselves. Whether we are someone who is pleased with how we look, or whether we are someone who is not pleased with how we look, we need to remember that our bodies are not all that we are. There's also the inner life of the heart, which is the thing that is of concern here to God. There might be all kinds of reasons why we see ourselves in certain ways. Maybe everyone told you that you were really beautiful growing up, and now you feel the pressure to constantly look good. Maybe you were criticized or teased about your appearance growing up, and those things have affected you deeply. Either way, how great to know that God looks at our heart. We are not defined by what we look like on the outside. So our body is part of who we are, but it's not the whole story. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so how do we see ourselves? Well, this is also an emphasis which is picked up in the New Testament. So this is 1 Peter 3 and verse 3 and 4. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, of course, in context, these verses are speaking about wives, but I think exactly the same principle applies to other women and also to men as well. So these verses are not saying that Christians ought not to wear jewellery or to spend time doing their hair. But they are saying that we should be really careful about emphasising outward appearance at the expense of what we are like inside. And so I think this is saying that if your outward beauty routine in the morning takes you longer than your inner beauty routine of spending time with God in his word and in prayer, then that ought to be of concern if we are a Christian. Saying that the inner beauty of being like Jesus on the inside is more important to God than the clothes we wear and what we look like on the outside. So it's not saying that Christians can't be into clothes or into beauty products, but it is saying that we are not to idolize outward appearance. Our bodies are not all that we are. We should enjoy God's good gift of clothes. We should feel free to express our personalities through our hairstyle or how we dress. But don't ignore inner beauty. Don't neglect your character or what you are like inside, which is more important to God. So how can we be a little less obsessed with appearances, and how can we take more care of character and inner beauty? Well, I suppose there's lots of things that we could say. I suppose there's some very practical things that we could actually do, if possible. We can just consciously spend less time worrying about what we look like. Maybe you could consciously dress down occasionally. Now, there's an incredible thought. Maybe we could consciously dress down occasionally, and that could actually serve as a reminder to you that God cares more about what you look like on the inside, and that at the end of the day, we are living to please God and not to impress anybody else. Maybe you are someone who would find it really helpful to limit your intake of certain magazines or certain websites that feed your desire to look good. Perhaps some of that stuff is just not really that helpful to you. It just breeds a sense of dissatisfaction with the person that you are, and actually wars against you finding your security and identity in Christ. And then, most of all, we need to remember that Jesus is the one who makes us beautiful. Of course, this starts on the inside, where Jesus deals with the ugliness of sin. Actually, the ugliest thing about any of us is not what we are like on the outside. It is what we are naturally like on the inside. All of those wrong thoughts we've had about other people, where we have sinned against God. But the good news is that that is an ugliness that can actually be changed by Jesus. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be made beautiful. And when we trust in him, he comes in and cleans our ugly hearts and replaces it with his beauty. The beauty of holiness, the beauty of a living relationship with God, the beauty of Jesus, where we are completely washed clean. But then there's also actually more. And that is that once Jesus comes in and makes us beautiful on the inside, that also begins to work its way out on the outside as well. Of course, there's the beauty of good works. Of course, Jesus may not change our outward appearance in exactly the way that we want, but it is true that the state of our hearts affects our outer disposition and the kind of person that we are. And that does actually bring about a new kind of beauty. I think we all instinctively know this. We know that if somebody is bitter and angry and resentful inside, then that does affect their appearance and the way that they look. And equally, we know that where someone is kind and gentle and at peace inside, then that gives them a kind of external beauty and people want to be around them. And so look to Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes us beautiful. So by all means, this coming week, take care of your appearance, but don't neglect inner beauty, the kind of beauty that God really wants us to have. And so hopefully you can begin to see something of how our physical bodies relate to our identities. We're not to underemphasize our bodies. They're an important part of who we are. But neither are we to overemphasize our bodies. They are not all that we are. I suspect that most of us will probably fall more into one of these groups than the other one. Some of us might be more tempted to downplay our bodies and think that the real me is what I'm like on the inside. Others of us might take a lot of our identity from how we look, having the right body, wearing the right clothes. But actually, the most important thing for us all is to take our sense of who we are from what God has revealed about us in his word. You see, very often the way that we see ourselves is based on what we feel like, or it's what other people say about us that over the course of our lives gradually reinforces our image or our identity. But actually, if we're Christians, we know that the only stable foundation for life is to see ourselves as God sees us. That leads us to the last point there on your sheet. So we only discover who we really are in Jesus Christ. So we said last week that the first thing that we need in order to have a healthy view of our bodies is to give thanks to God for them. And then this week, we see that if we're Christians, then we also need to learn to see ourselves in completely new ways. Our bodies are an important part of who we are, but they're not all that we are. What counts most is a relationship with Jesus Christ and being beautified by him. So what difference does knowing Jesus make to our identity? Well, in short, it means seeing ourselves in new ways, and this frees us from feeling ashamed about our bodies or like we are more ugly or more beautiful than those around us. Some of you may have seen the episode of The Simpsons where Lisa Simpson falls in love with her English teacher. But then he leaves school and poor Lisa feels heartbroken. However, before he leaves, he hands her a note and says to her, "Whenever you feel like you're alone and there's no one else you can rely on, this is all you need to know." And then she reads the note, and on it is just written the words, "You are Lisa Simpson." See, he's saying that all she needed to know is who she really is, her identity. That's absolutely true for us as Christians as well. We need to know actually who we are in Christ, who we are in him. We can rest in who God has made us to be without worrying about what the world around us or what anyone else thinks. And so the Bible says that we are loved. Galatians 4 verse 5 says that I am adopted as a child of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that I am a new creation. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11 says I've been washed and sanctified. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says that I've been chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in Christ. And many, many more too. And all of this makes a real difference to how we see our bodies in practical ways. As one Christian author writes, again, specifically to women, but again, the principle is true for men. Don't spend all your time and money pursuing that fat-free, full-lipped, tummy-tucked, muscle-toned, pencil-eyebrowed, smooth-skinned, chisel-cheeked size 6. You already are a fabulous princess designed and loved by God. Now, I'm not even 100% sure I even understand what some of those things are. But I do understand the next bit, which is remind yourself of what is true in Christ, what he has done for you, and how he made you. I have been truly made beautiful by Jesus. If you're a Christian, you are a loved and cared for child of God, and that has to transform how we see ourselves. And then if you are someone with us this morning and you're someone who isn't a Christian yet, I wonder if any of this has created a longing in your life to know Jesus. Maybe you recognize, if you're really honest, your identity is completely invested in how you look and what you wear. And maybe you recognize the problem with that, that it never ultimately satisfies you. And as you get older, your beauty will gradually fade. Or maybe you recognize that actually your view of your own body is less than it really ought to be. You view it simply as a blank canvas, but yet you know deep down that actually God has made you for much more than that. He's made you more than just a blank canvas. Well, if so, come to Jesus. Jesus made you. Jesus thinks you're beautiful. He is also the one who can make you truly beautiful inside. And he will also begin to make you more beautiful outside as well, as he gradually transforms your character and you begin to walk in his ways. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to give thanks for your word to us this morning. Father, we know that these are complex issues that we often wrestle with in our own lives. And there'll be maybe many different ways, Father, that we see the relationship between who we are and our physical bodies. And so we trust in you. We want to ask for your help this morning. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't underemphasize our bodies. We pray that we wouldn't overemphasize them either, but that we might have a right perspective from you. We give thanks that Jesus is the one who makes us beautiful through his death on the cross for us, and we ask that we might increasingly take our identity from him. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.